broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I made some comments on Twitter that were intended to be satirical.
It's a new approach. So, I mean, we both are very...
Yeah, I was told if I went on the attack, they would cancel the show. And
this was a very difficult time in my life.
I am a clown.
I hate Jews.
Okay, welcome to the show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. Radio for patriots by patriots, and our patriot line is open. 877-876-7445. This is the radio show that knows what it's talking about, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere. I mean anywhere to do the kind of radio we want to do, and we go places other talk shows just can't go to at all. I mean, it's pretty... It's a very daunting thing. It's a very challenging thing, but we take up the challenge gladly. Welcome to the show. In just a couple of moments, we'll be joining Kurt Quede and Guy Barton. They are two state senators from West Virginia. They are not directly involved in hiding some of those Wisconsin state senators, but they know of people that are in Indiana, in Illinois, and West Virginia. A rambling interview by Charlie Sheen gets production of Two and a Half Men canceled for the season. We'll give you the latest news on the union protests, of course, in Wisconsin. We also have a guest coming up the next hour. It's Bob Green talking about Obama and whether he actually did make any promise to go to Wisconsin and to walk with those workers there. Two parents try to scare their troublemaking kids straight but end up in jail for child endangerment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Affiliate spotlight tonight in Austin, Texas, KJCE 1370 AM. And in Buena Vista, Colorado, KVLE 102.3 FM, simulcast on 610 AM. And if you go to our website right now, philhendryshow.com, you'll see that our featured affiliate is our great friends there, WWRL in New York City, 1600. And while you're at our website, get a backstage pass. You can watch the live audio, watch the live video of the show right now, listen to archives, listen to podcasts, check out the news feed, check out the featured clips, check out our animated clips. It goes on and on and on and on and on. It is the best bang for your buck that you'll find on the web. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Wisconsin police, now this is the headline, and let's just get into the nuts and bolts of this. Wisconsin police have been dispatched by Wisconsin Republicans to the homes of absent Democratic senators. They were sent out on Thursday to try to round them up for a vote on a plan to strip public sector unions of most collective bargaining rights. Now, while the search failed to find the Democrats, it raised the stakes as Governor Scott Walker's self-imposed deadline of Friday for approving the proposal neared. Wisconsin has become ground zero in a national struggle over labor union power, and union members from all over the country have converged on the state to protest the proposal. All 14 Democrats in the Senate fled to Illinois last week to deny Republicans a quorum and a vote on the bill. Republicans hold a 19-14 majority but need a quorum of 20 to vote on spending bills. The Democrats fled because they feared they could be compelled to attend if they remain. Some Republicans suspect the Democrats have been sleeping in their own beds at night, meaning they haven't left the state at all. Republican Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said he hoped the Democrats could be convinced to return, although he acknowledged police could not arrest them if they found them, which is also something that I think is definitely worth talking about. Now, here is Mike Huckabee lending guidance and support for Governor Walker during an interview with CBS News.
I say stand tall, stay firm, hang in there. You know, he's doing what he's doing because he's clearly grasped that as a governor, he's going to be responsible for balancing his budget. Wisconsin law, like every other state except Vermont, has to balance their budget, and they have to do it by law. So I think it's a responsible action on his part. And, you know, if the Democrats are serious about saying, well, we want dialogue, we want negotiation, then get back in your seats in the Senate. Hauling off to Illinois, getting to the hidey hole over there, making these appearances from undisclosed location, that's embarrassing.
Well, I agree with former Governor Huckabee, and I agree that the Republicans in Wisconsin, whether you like it or not, have got a majority. The Republicans in Wisconsin have got business they want to do. The Democrats running off and hiding, it makes the left in this country, it exposes the left in this country to all of us for what they are. And they are people without solutions. They are people without answers. They are people who are reactive. They are people who are insightful. They are people who are unrealistic. And ultimately, they are people that run from daddy. And I say that even though I have two very good friends on the line who are Democrats, Kurt Quady and Guy Barton. Forgive me, Kurt. I know you guys very well. You're in Charleston, West Virginia, right?
Well, we are in Charleston, West Virginia, Phil. And I would like to think that your opinion of me, and Guy, I'm sure you agree.
I know Phil a long time. I don't think you agree with that. Yeah.
I'd like to think your opinion of me is not so harsh. That we are not looking for solutions.
I think you guys are fair-minded, but I believe that your side of the aisle, if you will, your side of the political divide, by and large, is an unrealistic, obstructionist, and...
Well, you see, an obstructionist, I can bring up a lot of examples of how Republicans were like a log on the road. You know, they did not allow a lot of legislation going through here in the first 2 years of Barack Obama.
All right. Well, but it's not fair of me to bring this up because this is not what we want to argue about or discuss. We want to talk about these senators that have left Wisconsin. Where are they? I understand that you know of people who have sheltered some in West Virginia. That's quite a haul.
Well, I think that, and God knows a little bit more about the specifics of where they're staying. The thinking was that if they could get as far away from Wisconsin as they could get.
By bringing up the Charleston and a few other areas too, because what they don't want and they don't want to have to do is they don't want to have to compel anyone to hide them in a home. They don't want to have to compel anyone. We don't want a doctrine of representation because that's protection.
Now, what is the doctrine of its representative protection?
The doctrine of representative protection is that not a congressman. In the state of Wisconsin, they have the right, technically, to ask a family to protect them or shelter them from the civil authority if their reason for being protected and sheltered is one of conscience. So that is the.
Where is that?
That's the state of Wisconsin, and a full faith and credit mean another state too. You see.
Well, what's going on with these? So the Wisconsin police sent they sent cops to look for these guys. They said they can't arrest them, but they're looking for them in their own state, right?
I understand. They're looking for them in their own state. They're also looking for these Wisconsin senators in adjoining or bordering states. So they're looking in Indiana, also in Indianapolis, and in some parts of Michigan and Minnesota, wherever they could go. To protect themselves from being compelled to vote on something they feel is a very, very destructive piece of legislation.
Yeah, and so representative protection on that.
Tell me a little bit more about representative protection. If a senator from Wisconsin is hiding from the police.
If a senator from Wisconsin is hiding from the police, and he has a need to be courted and protected, so the police don't find him, and he can do it any way he wants. He might know people. He might check in a hotel. But right now the police have begun a renewed effort to find these state senators.
Right, so that's why we bring up the doctrine of representative protection. You have to go deeper into hiding.
They have to go deeper into hiding, exactly. And so you go to the front door of someone, you knock on the door, you introduce who you are, a state senator for the state of Wisconsin, from this district or what have you, and that you need to invoke, you need for them, you won't bring up any legal jargon, but you'll say you need for them to, protect you for a night.
Well, hold on. Are these state senators going to doors in Wisconsin and Indiana and saying this?
When the word went out that the Wisconsin police were involved, and I know, Guy, you on the phone, you know a little bit more about it?
Yeah, I talked to two individuals. They're both from the state senate. And when they heard Wisconsin police were now looking actively for them, that's when they began to leave the places they were. Some of them were at their own home. And they had to go deeper into hiding, if you will. And that's when they had to go to different houses and tell the people there that they needed a room or someplace where they could stay.
They're telling people or asking?
Well, a doctrine of representative protection means you are telling. It's a very difficult thing. It's not anything you want to do. It's an old law that comes from the French and Indian Wars, and then was used during colonial times, that basically says if a representative of the people is being harassed by the king's men, he is able to hide. Well, of course, we took that here in America and applied that to our civil law.
Yeah, so now, if a representative does not want to vote on something because he feels it against his conscience, he can go to someone's home and say, I need to stay here.
Well, what if the person answering the door does? That's the obvious question, right?
Yeah.
The obvious question is, what if the person answering the door doesn't want them to be there?
Well, that's a very difficult. It's a very difficult thing to have to face. Hopefully, after you are told, you really have no choice. You know, hopefully, the civic mindedness of the individual will kick in. The person will say, "Well, if I have no choice, it's the law. Well, I will protect you for the night, or keep you here at the house for the night." But it's a very rare law. The guy was telling me,
yeah, it's very rare, Phil, and rarely invoked. But what they're doing, what the state senators are doing, is saying, you have to let me in and stay there for the night.
You have to let me in and stay there for the night.
That is correct, yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, and of course, as a conservative, if I had a Democratic state senator from Wisconsin banging on my door saying, you got to keep me here for the night because I don't want the cops to find me, I'd throw that guy out on the lawn.
Well, I know, but technically you would be liable for arrest. But
you know, Phil, I don't understand that because I know you're a conservative, but you are also a patriot. And if you say you're going to throw a man out on the lawn so the police can get him,
look, these guys have been hiding from their duty for...
No, let's not talk like that.
Well, I'm going to talk like that. These guys have been hiding for their duty now for days and days and days and days and days. They're needed back to vote on this thing. And a guy comes to my door and says, I want to stay here for the night. I'd say, well, you know what? Get out. You don't get to stay here.
Then you're liable for arrest.
You are liable for arrest. You have to, when a state senator comes to your house, and I'll tell you... You might be lucky if you get arrested. I don't even lucky, but he might say, "Well, I'm coming in anyway."
I'm coming in anyway. I mean, where are we living? Where a government official gets to just come right into my house? You know,
no, not a government. That's a representative of the people. That's not a police officer.
Yeah, that's not a soldier. That's not a cop. That's a representative of the people who is saying, "Will you please hide me for the night? Because there is a constable after me or a police official after me." And you say to him, no, I hope you go out in the snow and freeze. If this is a man who don't want to be apprehended by the police, of course he's going to try to push his way past you.
Well, if that's the kind of panic that the Wisconsin state senators are in, they're in a serious state of panic. And I would tell you, I can't think of anything that would require them to do something like that. Just go back to Madison. We're on the line here with our state senators, Kurt Quede and Guy Barton. The Wisconsin state senators who are hiding have the right to go to houses and to say, I need to use your house for the night. I need to hide for the night. This is a doctrine of representative protection. And these two guys are saying that's exactly what's happening right now. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Plus, if you say no, they're just going to push right past you? I don't think so. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. As this Wisconsin state senator debacle continues to heat up and get more ridiculous, and these guys continue to hide, now they're taking over parts of your house, whether you like it or not. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Coming up next hour, we have Robert Greene. Did Barack Obama break a promise to union members when he said that he would walk with them if their right to organize was being attacked? We'll be talking with Robert Greene next hour about this. This hour, we've got Kurt Quede and Guy Barton, two state senators from West Virginia. We're talking about Wisconsin. And the police have now been ordered out to look for Wisconsin state senators, which I'm very, very happy to hear. I don't know how many of them are in-state. I don't know how many of them are out-of-state. Kurt Quede and Guy Barton talking with us about the fact that some of them may be forced to, basically what you're saying is, if I'm not mistaken here, Kurt, you're saying they may be forced to just go ahead and force their way into someone's home.
No, I'm not saying force their way into anyone's home.
That's what the conservative, and I know you're conservative, Bill, but don't fall prey to that lie.
We are not saying they have to force their way in order to stay away from the police and hide from the police. Yes, they will go to houses and say, we are state senators. We do need to take refuge from police looking for us to take a vote. Now, we want into your home, and we want you to let us into your home.
Now, the two of you did this at one time, is that correct?
That is correct. And there was one family that would not allow us in, and we had to contact a state trooper after everything was done. And I'm sorry to say that the gentleman and the wife, the children, of course, were fine, but the gentleman and the wife had to spend some time in jail.
But we got into another lady's house, and we were able to hide. This is a part of...
What were you guys hiding from?
It was another forced vote. We had a Republican senator at the time was forcing a vote.
Okay, so you left the floor. Did all the Democrats?
All the Democrats left the floor, and we went out, and we found that we needed to get away, and obviously you have to. At that time, we don't want to be anywhere where they are going to force us to take a vote that we know we're going to lose. You never want to vote on anything you're going to lose. If you know you're going to lose, you're going to vote on things you're going to win. But we left, and that one family would not allow us. We had to have them arrested. We did go and finally find a woman, and we told her, we said, we don't really have a lot of time, you know.
We don't have a lot of time to fool around. Let us get in. The only problem with that, it was ridiculous because she was an elderly woman, and I say this with, but why, there's no way she's going to win an argument with us. You know?
Well, this is what I'm talking about. Did you guys force your way in to an elderly woman's home?
No, you got to listen to what Kurt's saying, Phil.
I'm listening to what Kurt's saying. Did you force your way into this woman's home?
We told the woman that we were not going to go back to the state house to vote.
I'm asking, did you force your way into this woman's home?
We went in and told her that we're going to be there 24 hours. And the only thing we forced her to do, and we didn't, but I told her, I said we were hungry, and we told her to get in the kitchen. We needed something to eat.
And then Guy started watching pay-per-view, and I'd asked him not to do that. You watched that? What was that?
I wanted the Inception. But the problem is, Phil, so the old woman made us something to eat, because I told her she's got to make us something to eat. We were at that particular point, we were starving. You have to understand, we were starving. And so I told the old woman to go in and make us something to eat, because there was no argument about that. There wasn't going to be any discussion about that. I'm going to have something to eat. And I told Guy that was what I was going to do, and you didn't argue with me.
Well, I knew you were going to do it anyway.
I did not go in and watch pay-per-view. That is a patent lie. But what happened was we were able to spend a night in this old lady's house and stay away from that boat. Now, at one point, she, I think, got on the phone. She tried to call the police. I told her, you call the police. I said I just had the West Virginia State Trooper arrest that family that would not let us in. What are you going to do?
You know, this sounds to me unbelievably Machiavellian. It's almost a police state type thing.
Please don't be dramatic.
Well, wait a minute. But there's nothing dramatic when you guys say you don't want to take a vote and you leave and you don't want the cops to find you and you're forcing your way into someone's home and you've got an elderly woman cooking you breakfast and you have...
I told her that we were very hungry.
And then you guys are arguing about pay-per-view and all of this stuff. I find that to be, if that is an actual, if that is something that is a part of the political process of this country, shame on you. Shame on both of you.
Well, that's a very dramatic statement to make, but let me tell you what else is a shame. A shame to force two lawmakers who were elected by the people of the state of West Virginia or Wisconsin to go and take a vote on something you know is wrong for the people, and you're supposed to go in and vote on that. And if you don't, they send the police after you. That's a police state, you see.
And no, the police state is when you two guys force your way into the home of an old lady.
No, that was us getting away from the police. The old woman who was a longtime Republican, and I told her, you're going to cook us breakfast. Why? Because I wanted to teach her a lesson based on another issue.
All right, we're going to be back. Our number, 877-876-7445. Kurt Quitty, Guy Barton, and the senators are hiding. Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry.
Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
If a state senator came to your door and said, I am a state senator from Wisconsin, I am avoiding the police because I don't, in good conscience, want to go back to Wisconsin and vote on a bill that I cannot condone, and I'm going to vote no, and it's going to pass anyway, I need to stay in your home for the night to get away from the police. Would you let them in? With me is Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton, who had at least one no and one yes.
Well, so the no that we had was a West Virginia bill. We did not leave the state. People in West Virginia were fully aware of the issue.
Can you tell me what the issue was?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, and I don't think that Guy does either.
No, I don't.
But it was very emotional, and when those people did not let us stay, in the state of mind that I was in, I called and some friends of mine in the West Virginia State Patrol, and I made sure.
So you had to pull some strings to get these people arrested. This sounds more sordid.
No, if that's not pulling strings, Phil, that is a public official saying we need action here.
And then we went to the elderly woman house and said, you have no choice. You've got to get in there. You got to cook me something. I'm sorry. I told her to cook me something to eat. I was hungry. We had been on the run for 48 hours. I said, you're going to cook me something to eat.
You told her to shut her mouth, and I don't think that that was right, but I understand why he did it.
You told the old lady to shut her mouth.
Yes, I did, because she was going on about, you have no right, and this. And I was tired, I was frazzled, I said, you shut your mouth and cook me a bacon egg. And that's what she did.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we'll go to our first call here of the evening. It is Clint in Mobile, Alabama. Clint, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Guy Barton and Kurt Quitty. Go ahead, please.
Good evening. I have one question. Is this some sort of practical joke?
Yeah, there's a good question. Are you guys kidding?
Well, if I'm kidding, there are a lot of people who have not returned to the Wisconsin State House. They're not kidding. And they sent the police after those people, and those people have every right. Excuse me, you asked me a question, sir. They have every right not to return to the Wisconsin State House. Good conscience, not a vote on a bill.
I just want to make one comment, and then I'll let you guys go. If you were elected to do a job, even though you're in the minority,
right,
it is your responsibility to carry out what you were elected for. So running and hiding is unacceptable.
My responsibility is to serve my constituents the best way I know how. If the law allows me not to show for a vote, where they were going to require a 20-vote quorum,
and it would to leave. And that's what we did.
Well, that's not my problem. My problem is you guys forcing your way into homes.
Well, I mean, that's just
forcing your way into somebody's home and saying, unfortunately, we have to force our way into your home because that's our conscience. You know, our conscience is telling us not to go back there.
Well, that's part of if you're a citizen, would you not protect a member of the?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
No, but I want to say something.
Well, the gentleman's trying to say something.
I mean,
Clint, go ahead.
I guess I have to say that you guys must have been really lucky to have found an old woman that wasn't defending herself in some way. Because, I mean, there's no way that constitutionally you have the right to enter somebody's home without their permission. That is That is part of, we have the right to own property and protect our property, and you barging your way in, I guess you guys are pretty lucky to pick up old woman.
It was a very unusual situation, sir. There was nothing that I wanted to do. I certainly did not want to do it, but I had no choice. I had Wisconsin.
You interfered and trespassed against your own will?
I beg your pardon? I had to get away from the Wisconsin State, or excuse me, the West Virginia State Trooper.
They were coming out there. Now, the old lady, you say it was
against your will. The only reason that somebody's trying to get away from a state trooper is if they have done something they are not supposed
to be doing. Exactly. You guys are running from the law.
Now, no, I'm not running from the law. It's trying to compel me to go to the state house and vote in good conscience on something. The old woman's home that we entered, we said we've got to enter the home. We've got to enter.
You don't have to enter somebody's home.
I beg your pardon.
Go do your job. Go do your job.
We did do our job. We went to the state house. They wanted us to vote on this bill. I'm not going to do
you
that.
You are elected to represent the people. And the people elected you to run and hide.
No, they didn't. But they did elect me to run and hide. I think I've got to vote on something that is a surefire that no one's going to like it. No, believe me, they ain't going to like it.
Well, did they already communicate that with you?
No, we assume. But when we went to the old woman's house, and I said, I don't want to do this, but I've got to come in, she got panicky. She thought she was on a TV show. I got the whole thing got blown way out of proportion.
Well, look it, man. If you come into somebody's house when they don't want you in their house, there's no way you can blow that out of proportion. That's already out of proportion. That is the hijacking of a home. That is the taking of a hostage. Just call it anything you want.
No, it's not taking a hostage. What happened was I said, we got to come in. And the old woman sounded saying, she thought it was a sexual assault in the way that you had put that. I'm not blaming you, a guy, but she thought it was a sexual assault. In the manner in which guy was saying, I got to get in and this ridiculous, and she panicked. I said, it's not a sexual assault. The mistake we made was telling her to get in there and cook us breakfast.
You guys came into that house as if you were a couple of bank robbers. And
I beg your pardon, sir. I'm a representative of people of West Virginia.
You went into that house as if you were a couple of bank robbers taking a hostage. That's where I think you went wrong. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Roger in Bowling Green, Missouri. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. How are y'all tonight?
Good.
Doing real good.
What I would like to say is this. I wish that man would come to Tennessee and try to force his way into one of our houses. I mean, what is this man's problem? You know, you don't force your way into an old woman's house and force her to cook you breakfast. Man, what is your problem?
I don't have a problem. My problem is simply this. If it was Barack Obama telling you, you got to go vote, and you got to do it today, and I want your hiney in there, you'd say to him, I'm good conscience, Mr. President, I can't do it. You're Barack Obama. Because I'm assuming everybody listening here, Mr. Henry, is conservative like Mr. Henry. And that's fine. But, Mr. Henry, would you do that?
If President Obama said to me that I have to be, I don't know with the law whether he can command that or not, but if they said that I need to be in my seat for a quorum, of course I would.
Even if you're going to vote on something you don't want.
Well,
yes.
You know what? I don't care if Barack Obama came to my house.
Whoa. Watch what you, Roger. Don't talk that way. That's a federal crime. You understand?
It don't matter. You don't force
yes, it does matter
house.
Because I got to report you to the Secret Service if you keep talking. And
it
we can trap your number. We can trap your number. You understand? Just shut up. Get this guy off the line before this stupid ass. 877-876-PHIL.
What was that all about?
I don't know what that was all about. The fact is I can trap that number just as quick as I need to, and I can find out where that guy was calling from, and if I feel like it after the show, we can call the Secret Service. I don't know whether that guy is serious or not. I'm going to have to think about it. But I know the time the call came in. I know the time it went on the air. I know the city he's calling from, and I can grab his phone number. Don't kid about presidents and violence. It's a violation of federal, it's a possible violation of federal law. And I don't know about any other talk show hosts in this country. I don't know about anybody else, but I will call the federal cops, whether it's FBI or Secret Service. That's what we do in this show. Now, we just had a President Bush threatened with a bomb I've lived through an assassination in this country. I've seen a lot of public officials assassinated. We will not have anybody on the air on this show as a caller threatening the life of a president. I don't give a damn if it's Obama or Bush or whoever. If you do, we trap your number through Sprint. We find out your number. We go to your town. We send a Secret Service there, and you're going to have a long conversation with them. Period. All right, 87. I'm sorry, guys. That's just where it is.
No, I understand that. I had no idea, though, that you took all that seriously.
Of course, I take it serious. 877. Let me tell you something. I reported some punk kid from Canada who called up one night and thought he could threaten the life of matter-of-fact way, threaten Bush's life. The next day, he had the RCMP and the Secret Service at his house. Now, that's what we do on this show. I don't give a sweet Jesus what people think. Doesn't make any difference to me. That's what we do.
I certainly feel I would never. But I thought that man was just trying to. And he was a conservative, and I shouldn't be defending him. If he's a conservative, I'd love to see him go to jail. I'd love to see him go to jail. Well, that is true. I would, too. I'd love to see him go to jail and have his thumb stretched. Maybe put his thumb in thumb screw. But I will say that I don't think the man was serious.
Well, yeah, you know what? I told him to shut up, and he didn't. I told him that it was a violation of federal law, and the dumbass said, you know, it doesn't matter. So that's what makes me think that he was trying to game me a little bit, that he was trying to crank the show a little bit. So we'll tell him what's up. He's going to find out real fast. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to Hank in Danville, Virginia. Go ahead, Hank. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Kirk Wheat and Guy Barton.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say my opinion on that. I don't think anybody has the right to just barge into anybody's house, period, regardless of who they are or what they work for, anything such as that, and just make demands. I think that was very rude, very disrespectful. And, you know, just in future reference, I don't think they should ever try that again, because there are citizens who take that very seriously, and I happen to be one of them. It's just rude. I mean, especially an elderly woman like that.
I had to get someplace, you know, because they were going to make me. I know about the elderly lady, and I told her, and she thought she'd been raped. And
she thought she was being raped. Did you at that time understand that you were scaring the hell out of her?
No, it was the way he said it, though. He said, I got to get in. Okay.
I mean, that's my thing. I don't think she made the breakfast out of the kindness of her heart. Oh, I'll make these.
Right.
No, she made it out of fear. And that's sick
exactly.
Of me to think that you would put fear in the elderly like that. Nobody, period, has a right to barge in my house. Even the police couldn't do it without a warrant. What makes you suspicious to think you can come in there and then demand this elderly woman? I mean, think about it. If that had been your mother and two strangers had walked into her house and demanded that, I mean, you wouldn't be too happy about that.
That happened to my mother. That happened to my mother. That happened to my mother.
Did that make you happy?
I reckon that's one of the reasons why I got into politics, because I wanted to find out about representation in the state law of West Virginia. My mother had to let this state senator come in and sit down and smoke a cigar and put his feet up. And my mother had to polish his boots. And
What are you talking about, polish his boots?
What we asked the old lady was two things and only two things. We wanted a couple of beds, and we wanted her to get in there and make some breakfast. Now, as soon as she got it done, the less...
No, you didn't. You're contradicting yourself, because now you're saying only asked her two things. And earlier you said that you told her to shut her mouth. Or
right,
be quiet
exactly.
Or whatever it was, and go in there and do it. That's not asking.
Well, she was,
if I were to tell my wife to shut her mouth and go make me some food, do you know what would happen with that? And she's my wife.
Well, sir, I don't understand. I mean, the woman wouldn't shut up.
Let's just recap here. You guys go into a house without permission. You scare the hell out of her. You tell her to go. You tell her. You didn't ask her anything. You told her to go make you breakfast. And then you said, shut your mouth to her.
I said that when she wouldn't shut up.
It's her house, okay?
It is her house, but this was an extreme situation where they had the cops looking for representatives trying to get them back to the state house. Well, I can't let that happen. I look like a jackass. I look like a horse's ass. I go back in.
You look like one now.
How do you figure I look like one now? Because I'm telling you
that... Because you barge into an old lady's house and make demands, dude. That don't get no sicker to me.
I didn't do anything. I left the record to show we did not sexually assault that woman. She thought we
did. I didn't say you did, dude. I'm talking about going
there
to making demands that she make you breakfast. That's just wrong. And by the way, I'm not a conservative. I'm just country. There's a difference. I'm not conservative. That's wrong. I don't care what side of the fence you are.
Well, I said, okay, if you don't care, you're a country boy, because I'm a country boy, too.
Oh, yeah.
I said,
I mean,
woman, I said give me that Canadian bacon. I want some of that fatback bacon. Give me a cup of egg. And that woman gave me a look like she get evil eye, you know. And all I,
okay, like, we heard a million times.
If I walked into my grandmother's house right now, and I said, Grandma, get in there right now and make me some breakfast right now. My grandma is going to come back across my face with a left hand, and it, and she's going to mean business. And that little lady should have done the same thing to y'all. Matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not trying to be like the other caller and get all crazy, but my grandma is packing heat, and there's a lot of elderly that is. So that's just not only
a yeah, there's more and more
hard,
people
bro.
With guns, yeah.
You're trying to tell me old lady going to draw down on me. You're going to throw down on me.
Well, tell me she could have.
You put a bullet up.
Put a bullet right through your head. Thank you very much for your call, Hank. I appreciate it. Number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Wow. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. Sorry, I had to get serious there, guys.
You probably scared the hell out of that guy.
All right, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not sorry, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to have that kind of joking around on my show. Okay, thank you. All right, we'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. More from Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton on the Wisconsin state senators that have left town. The police are now looking for them. The Wisconsin police are looking for them. Do they have the right to go up to your house and say, you need to shelter me for the night, I'm trying to get away from the cops? Apparently, these two guys think they do. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I say, stand tall, stay firm, hang in there. He's doing what he's doing because he's clearly grasped that as a governor, he's going to be responsible for balancing his budget. Wisconsin law, like every other state except Vermont, has to balance their budget, and they have to do it by law.
That is Mike Huckabee in defense of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. On the line with me is Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, state senators from West Virginia, on the state senators of Wisconsin leaving, hiding, not coming back for this vote. Now Wisconsin police have been sent to search for these senators. Are they searching? Wisconsin police can't search out of state.
Well, no, they cannot search out of state. And that's just, I don't know whether, and I refuse to believe that Scott Walker ain't gonna lick a sense. He can't send a Wisconsin police officer out of state, you know.
But you don't have a lick of sense. Don't send him out. He can't have no jurisdiction, you know.
And well, I imagine he's got some information that they're still in state.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if the state senators feel that this man Walker knows where they are, then they've got to get out of where they are. I don't know where they're in a hotel or maybe their own house or something like that.
I think a lot of them are their own house, you know.
And then find another place. And if you don't know anybody, then you're going
to... Let's get back to the woman whose name we're not going to mention, whose home you went into, you invaded.
We didn't invade anyone's home. I'm very, very... I have to tell you, I don't want to be accused of that because I find it... It made me look like I'm some kind of mad dog girl.
Well, look, you walked into the lady's house... And now you even say that she was scared and that you said, I got to get in. She thought it was a sexual assault of some kind. The next thing you know, you guys are telling her to cook ham and eggs.
I told her I said I was a country man. She's a country woman, you see.
Yeah, you have to understand something. These are country folk. These are all country folk. I don't think you know about country. I know you had the one guy claimed he was country, but if he was really country, he would have told you anytime anyone said, look, I'm very hungry. I have been walking on the road a lot of times in West Virginia because we're a very poor state, and a lot of people don't have cars, you know. And you'll find sometimes a man or woman walking for many a mile.
Yeah, that's true. They walk a long way, just go to the store or something.
They're walking many a mile. And you say, I've been walking and walking. I'd love to have a piece of that pie. I'd love to have lemonade or something, you know.
Yeah, when I was a child, you told me to get that lemonade.
Now, I'll say that lady... Man, you country, I'd love to have myself a bacon and egg, just an egg. Bacon and one egg, I want to have an egg, you know.
You'd have that.
And they say, yes, we understand. Come on in, soldier boy. Come on, son. You are a son of West Virginia. But what'd that old lady do? That old woman looked at me right between my eyeballs, and then she said, this is a rape. I know that. As sure as God made green apples, you're about to rape me. And I said, no, I'm not. I want an egg. And Guy wanted a turkey bacon. Did you say that?
I wondered if she had turkey bacon. I'd say go buy it.
And then that's when Guy went and watched Inception like 10 times on pay-per-view. And that old lady, she lit up, man, she lit the night sky up with that. But she got done calling the police. She called her own state representative, said, man, come in, threatened to do me harm. And then he watched Inception 10 times on pay-per-view. You want to see the bill I got? Lord have mercy. You know.
No, I don't know. That's the goofiest crap I've ever heard in my life. No, I don't know.
What don't you get?
What don't I get? You guys have got to cook me breakfast. You guys have got... And then old lady, I don't want to rape you or anything, but... 877-876-PHIL. Well, I thank you guys very much for being on the line with me here, and I wish you the very best. And I think both of you guys have got a long way to go, man. You're going to have to prove to the police... And you're going to have to prove to the old lady, and you're going to have to prove to your colleagues that you weren't running out, and that you did not break into that woman's house.
Well, I tell you, I have got a problem now. Wisconsin does.
Oh, that's right. You're West Virginia.
Yeah, boy, you slow.
I'm not. I forgot.
We're West Virginia. You're talking about Wisconsin. We got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, I'll tell you what. You got away with murder.
No, we didn't. We got away with making an egg. Well, we got away with
Phil
what a dumbass.
And broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yeah, I was told if I went on the attack, they would cancel the show.
I made some comments on Twitter that were intended to be satirical.
I sought appropriate medical help at the time.
She's going to hell, this bitch.
When you're really ready to play from Nevada.
Yeah! World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. This is the original and the only right-wing radio. Should President Obama join the protesters in Wisconsin? Joining us this hour to discuss it is Robert Greene, a member of the Conservative Business Initiative in Southern California. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods. 877-876-7445. PhilHendryShow.com is the home, the online home of the Phil Hendry Show. While you're visiting and getting your backstage pass so you can watch our live video cast every night of the show, visit our shop. And we call it our shop. We don't call it our merchandise store. It's just our little shop. And you can pick up shot glasses, best of CDs, as well as, of course, our backstage pass where you're accessing our video cast, our very, very large archive, thousands of hours of archive radio shows, podcasts, and much, much more. Visit us at philhendryshow.com. We'd love to have you there. We got a bunch of BSPs, good people, all of them. And as a matter of fact, there's an informal little chat room that we've set up. Actually, the BSPs are in there with other people, but and that, you know, can probably the smell alone, you wouldn't want to have rub. I'm kidding around. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Liberals call on Obama to fulfill a campaign promise, walk with Wisconsin's union protesters. This was something that they claim President Obama, this was a, if you will, a promise that he made to march with protesters, people in unions who felt that they were being kept from organizing and or at least from coming together and protesting various things. And we have on the line Robert Greene from Fraser Foods, and we're going to also hear a couple of clips of audio. Press Secretary Jake Carney, as you know, who took over for the departed Robert Gibbs. Here is Jake Carney, press secretary for the White House, asked by CBS News' Chip Reed if the president will fulfill his campaign promise to walk with American workers.
I think that the president has different means of speaking out on issues and being heard. And clearly he did. He made his viewpoints known on the situation in Wisconsin, the need for people to come together. He takes very seriously the fiscal situation that the states find themselves in, some of the states, and understands it because he understands it at the federal level. But he encourages the parties involved to come together and sacrifice together and reach a solution that serves the interests of all the people of the states, just like he's trying to do for the broader nation.
House Progressive Caucus Co-Chair Keith Ellison says that he wants to hear more from the president on this issue.
He's made some statements. He should get credit for that. We'd like to hear him make some more statements. I think that President Obama should come to Wisconsin and stand with the workers. And I tell you, you know, the fact is that it's working people who are going to be pounding sign for him in a couple of years. It's working people whose policies that we elected him to pursue. And so I think that it's only sensible that he would stand on the side of labor at this time. But again, I want to be fair to the president. He has made statements, but his more statements would be very welcome.
So there's just a couple of comments. Robert Green with us from Buena Park, California. He is with the Conservative Businessmen's Initiative. And my understanding is you don't think the president should go. And this really probably is a fight, Bob, between liberals, a family squabble among the liberals who want the president to go. Some of them don't want the president to go. Some of them are saying he broke his promise. Some I don't know if they've said that. What do you think?
Well, my feeling, Phil, is that as a businessman, I've thrown my lot in with the Republican Party. As a businessman, I feel the conservative movement is the healthiest and the best movement for business people. I don't think you're going to find too many business people that are not conservatives and are not Republicans. So when you say that this is a family fight, you're absolutely right. It's a family fight. I'm still at work. Here on the West Coast, it's 10 minutes after 11, and I'm looking at our stock room where I still have people out. I'm looking at Teamsters, who are union people, who are still delivering. I'm looking at our maintenance crew that is cleaning one of our stores here. We're working all the time. Now, President Obama, he's the president, but he's a liberal and he's a Democrat. So what would be my interest in President Obama, whether he goes to Madison, Wisconsin or not? The only interest that I would have as a Republican, and whether President Obama goes to Madison, Wisconsin or not, is strictly as a security issue. I'm an American citizen as well as a conservative, and I think what you said last hour, Phil, was right on the money, and I don't think you should have to apologize at all. We don't make jokes about the safety of presidents, or whether that guy was joking or not. I would recommend against the president going to Madison, Wisconsin.
And well, why? Because you think he's at risk from union people?
No, not at all. I think he could be very well at risk with some of the conservatives that are showing up there. And this is tough for me to say because I am a conservative. But if you have ever been to and I'm not indicting the whole Tea Party, but I've been to Tea Party events. And if you look at the costuming and the mindset and some of the more extreme rhetoric, I think there is every reason to feel that it would be prudent for the president to stay in Washington.
Well, all right. So in other words, you believe that there is a security risk to the president if he goes to Madison?
I absolutely do, yes.
But you don't think it's from his own people. You think it's from conservatives?
Yes, I do.
Well, how many of them are? First of all, you know, if a president is targeted by a nut, it's generally a nut, a lone nut.
Well, and in years past, I would have thought that, Phil. In years past, I would have fought that argument. But we are into an entirely new kind of politicking. We are into a sort of an era of theatrical politics where we have individuals in costuming and makeup and almost what my daughter used to call, because she was in theater in college, which she used to call street theater. That's what we've got going on in the in American politics. And the Tea Party is a group that they make me nervous.
And all right, well, look, you're a conservative, and you are telling me that the Tea Party makes you nervous, and you are saying that that President Obama may be at risk from one or more Tea Party extremists. Now, how do we know? How would you say, and I happen to know that you're legitimate, but what would you say to somebody who's listening for the first time saying, this guy is a ringer, this guy is a liberal ringer who's been thrown into the mix to discredit conservatives?
I don't know what to say to that. It's not true. I value the Republican Party and I value the conservative movement so much that I don't want to see us discredited. And all it takes is one of these extreme individuals that the Tea Party, I don't know what the risk to the president is. I don't want to see anything happen to an American president because I don't want, because I'm an American and a patriot. But I especially don't want to see anything happen to an American president who goes down to a ground zero type of a situation on a political issue like the union issue in Wisconsin. And the next thing you know, someone comes out of the crowd in some outrageous costume, and we are going to regret for a very long time, and those liberals are going to regret for a very long time, that they demanded that the president come there and walk with them. And I think if you're a liberal, you think about it. But more so, if we are conservatives, I think we say to ourselves, no, we don't want Obama there either, because if anything happens to him, they're going to blame us, especially if it is one of our own, coming out of the crowd, some outlandish, outrageous kind of costume, it's the ridiculous look of the individual, the ridiculous look of an individual in all of these colors and all of this, I don't know what they'd be wearing, feathers or whatever they wear, and in the middle of all of this ridiculous-looking costume, a gun. And I can tell you, I don't want that to be, I don't want to see that happen. I sure don't want to see it hung on the conservative movement or the Tea Party.
What is the likelihood of that happening? I mean, we have, we've got a Secret Service that is as devoted and is as dedicated and is as good as any. And certainly even more so because this Secret Service knows they have a first, a historic first, a black president. So you know that those guys from day one have been working overtime. What's the likelihood of that happening? And let me ask you something else. A president not going someplace for fear for his own safety. We just got done talking to, not too long ago, Randall Terry. We said that's a hell of a thing, man, where a president has to watch where he goes in his own country. In his own country.
I understand.
Because there's some threat of violence.
I understand it. And I wish I could tell you that these are normal times, Phil, but they're not normal times. I agree. I don't think a president should ever fear going anywhere in his own country. And this is America. And if a president should feel safe, it should be within the borders of his own country. But we're living in unusual times. If you think about it, we are living in times where we have an entire segment of a political party that treats things as if it's dress up. In other words, I know that they're very serious.
We talk about the Tea Party and the way that they dress. You're hanging an awful lot on that, and I think you're questioning sanity based on that. And isn't there something a little bit better you can give us to sit here and say, I fear for the president's safety if he goes to Madison, not from liberals, but from conservatives in outrageous costumes?
I'm saying, Phil, if you listen to me. We are living in unusual times where a very committed and devoted segment of a political party, in this case the Tea Party, led by a reputable U.S. Congresswoman in Michelle Bachmann, they gather and discuss their policies and discuss the things that they want done for this country, dressed in outrageous-looking costuming of every kind, and as well as face paint and so on and so forth. And it's a sort of a mad era we find ourselves in. And if President Obama is shaking hands and someone in some kind of a wild and mad multicolored costume, dressed like Big Bird or something, comes running up in this Muppet outfit with a gun, I never in my wildest dreams would ever have thought it possible. And yet that's the times we are living in. And that's why I'm saying to the president's people, no, don't. Don't come to Madison until this thing is cooled down a little bit.
Is he breaking a promise to his constituents if he doesn't?
As a conservative, I could care less. I could care less whether he breaks a promise. It's meaningless to me. It's meaningless to me whether he's breaking a promise or not. I don't know what he said, and I don't care. That's something the liberals can fight over.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we talk here with Robert Green of the Conservative Businessman's Initiative, that President Obama should not go to Wisconsin because, frankly, there are a lot of conservatives, especially extreme conservatives, in his mind, the costume Tea Party, where his safety might be compromised. Now, it's a very interesting comment that he's making there, because I think it's an extremely outrageous comment. There are probably more liberals in Madison right now that the president might have something to fear from, because they've said, don't break your promise to us. But on top of everything else, to be frightened of a political movement, look, you got bigger problems, Bob. One of them is people are going to think you're a ringer for liberals because you're talking about the Tea Party doing something to President Obama in an outrageous costume. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Is President Obama at risk, personal risk, from conservatives if he goes to Madison, Wisconsin? The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the program. On our show tonight, we have Robert Green. I haven't heard from Bob in a while, and we've got him on. We're very happy, too. He's with the Conservative Business Initiative from Orange County, California, a group of conservative businessmen who are right now fighting the immigration fight here in the state of California, but also taking a look at what's happening in Wisconsin. Now, the president, and you wrote on your group's blog, Bob, that the president should not go to Madison. The president has, according to many in the Democratic Party, made a promise that they're now sort of holding against him, and you are saying don't go because he could very well be at risk.
I am saying that, yeah. And Phil, it's a very highly charged political climate.
But you're not saying at risk from liberals. You're saying at risk from conservatives. How many are there?
There are enough. Phil, I am a conservative. And I can tell you that there are an awful lot of conservatives out there that have anger issues having to do with a lot of things that are going on right now. I'm not saying these are anger issues that would be of a dire threat, but I get angry when I see a picture of Teddy Kennedy. God rest his soul, but I still do. I get very angry when I see a picture of Teddy Kennedy. I get angry when I see the homeless. I get angry when I see the unemployed. And I get angry when I see immigrants. I get angry for all the reasons Americans get angry. Why are they sitting on the cement on a sidewalk? Why are they in my country? These things anger me. And President Obama could be at risk, not so much of a dire physical threat as someone humiliating him, spitting on him, slapping him in the face, throwing feces on him.
Throwing feces on him?
Well, it was something that, God forgive me, but Teddy Kennedy came into our store and then was out doing a meet and greet. And it's something that I guess I could talk to you a little bit about a little bit later on if you want me to bring it up on the air.
All right, well, let me get a phone call going first here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Should President Obama go to Madison, Wisconsin, is he at risk in such a highly charged political environment, at risk of some sort of a physical assault? Here is Aaron in Fargo, North Carolina, Fargo, North Dakota. Aaron, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I appreciate you taking my call. I've been listening here, and I just can't even believe the things that I'm hearing. I think that the Tea Party movement, the conservative movement in this country, when I see them, I see my grandparents. I see my great aunts and uncles. I see members of my extended family, where I was raised in West Virginia as a boy, and I see these people who are passionate, yes, who are outspoken, yes.
You were raised in West Virginia? Whereabouts is West Virginia from?
I grew up in Randolph County in Elkins, West Virginia, which was just recently in the news for not a very good reason, but the fact of the matter is...
Yeah, I heard that was terrible, and we mourn the loss of that young U.S. Marshal, Phil.
What happened?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
There were a group of police officers that were attacked, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. They were U.S. Marshals that were attacked. But my point is this, is that what I think Phil said it best. We see liberal extremism much more than we see conservative extremism. And to fear some kind of reciprocal action or outrageous action from a Tea Party or a conservative individual is it makes me laugh. I literally was laughing. That's why I called, because it's the liberals. They're bussed in from out of state. They're not even citizens of the state, and they're in the rotunda, and they're being ridiculously passionate and outrageous and outspoken about this. And what we have are simple fundamentals of math. Third grade math book explains to us what needs to happen in this state. And to say that the president would be in some kind of danger from anybody in the conservative movement, regardless of the top hat or the Uncle Sam outfit or the sign they're holding, makes me laugh out loud, sir.
Well, sir, I would tell you that there are individuals in the Tea Party, and I haven't seen this on the liberal side, and maybe you can educate me, that get into the most out ridiculous costume for a day at the Capitol, dressed like a bird, dressed like, Marie Antoinette. That, to me, looks, well, you've seen it, haven't you?
I think it's funny. We have freedom in this country. We have freedom of expression in this country.
Absolutely. But there's also a point where mental health comes in.
Yes, but you can't judge that based on an outfit.
I don't know. I would hate to
disagree.
Clint, are you angry? Can I ask you that? You're conservative. I'm a conservative. I'm angry. Are you angry? I'm angry. I'm angry to the point where if and God rest his soul, if Terry Kennedy came into my store tonight,
I think it's hilarious.
Are you kidding?
I think you're one of those people that has the problem, because conservatives, here's the Tea Party. The Tea Party values the Constitution. The Tea Party values the ability to express themselves, their freedom of speech, their freedom of expression. And that is what they are showing. That is what they are taking to the nines with whatever outfit they're wearing or whatever sign they're showing. And they, because of that value of the Constitution, that value of their freedom, it doesn't go further than that.
And famous last words, sir, because if President Obama goes there and someone dressed as Martha Washington decides to smear him with her own, you know what.
All right, hold on. Phil Hendry Show will be back at 877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and of course, we're talking with Robert Greene from the Conservative Business Initiative about the conversation, the debate, the discussion concerning President Obama, whether he goes to Madison, Wisconsin or not. Bob has said that the president should not go because he would be at risk from some kind of an incident with a conservative group. Now, you know, in Madison, Wisconsin, Bob, we got liberals everywhere. You just talked to that young man from North Dakota. Who,
in North Dakota, I don't know how close he is, that young man that I spoke with, how close he is to the ground zero of anything, and I love North Dakota. I love it. It's beautiful. But Fargo, North Dakota is about a million miles away from anything that is even remotely relevant to keeping this country alive for another minute.
I don't think that's true at all. I mean, we're talking farm and ranch land. We're talking a lot of important people come from the Dakotas, not to mention a lot of important people in the broadcasting business. But I'm going to, you know, I'll table that for another time. But the fact is, you can't dismiss people like that.
No, I'm not dismissing. But what I'm saying, and I wish you would get this, and I wish your audience would understand, the Tea Party is a ticking bomb. The Tea Party is a ticking bomb. They get together and they dress outrageously and make a lot of statements about, I am a conservative, Phil. There's no question that I'm a conservative and I believe in the conservative principles and I want a conservative president. But I don't want the Tea Party with their outrageous and ridiculous kind of Mardi Gras mask wearing. And the nature of this group
I don't want them getting out of hand, because when they do, God help us.
And what does that mean, God help us?
I'll tell you what it means. I was at a meeting the other day at the CDI, and we were talking. I said, you guys remember the Students for a Democratic Society? You know that the Students for a Democratic Society eventually broke off and became the weathermen, and that eventually became the Weather Underground. The Tea Party is on the same trajectory. The Tea Party can and will, I believe. Eventually, there'll be internal strife, because there'll be individuals who want to push more toward a violent upheaval. And
you are a conservative, and you're more concerned with the Tea Party and a conservative violent upheaval.
Well, let me finish this point, because I believe that this will become a violent wing of the Tea Party, much like the Weather Underground did. And I think it'll happen absolutely, definitely, if a Republican is not elected president in 2012. I think it'll most likely happen before that. And I think they could very well kick it off with some event in Madison. I'm not saying there would be anything that would happen to the president any more than a humiliation. And that's why I mentioned what we had talked about with Teddy Kennedy, where you smear, you know what I'm talking about. And
I think that was about as mentally diseased as anything I've ever heard of, where you smearing feces on someone.
Well, that was what, you call that mentally disturbed? At least I'm not out trying to undermine the very principles that this country was built on, like liberals.
And no, you're out telling people about how to humiliate public officials by smearing feces on them, slapping them in the face, throwing eggs at them.
Mr. Henry, I'm not advocating that at all. I'm saying this is what the Tea Party will do.
Is the Tea Party, are you telling me the Tea Party is a stunt-prone organization?
I'm telling you the Tea Party stands at the precipice of continuing on with this asinine Mardi Gras costume party that they've got, or stepping over the line into an area of, yes, public display of humiliation. That is the throwing of eggs, the throwing of dog dew. Water balloons, these kinds of things, cherry bombs, where what you're doing is...
Well, it sounds like a child's prank.
No. What they want to do is humiliate Obama. They want to humiliate Obama, so they want to lob water balloons at, not even at Obama, they want to throw water balloons at the Secret Service, they want to lob what we used to call dog rockets.
What are those?
Well, a dog rocket is a bag full that you is full of dog dew, or whatever you want to call it, that you light on fire and then catapult. Okay?
All of this sounds like a child's game.
It is, believe me, it is deathly serious. Deathly serious. And it's all to humiliate President Obama. Who's going to do this? The Tea Party. And I have talked to people at length.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Bob.
Hold on. I talk to people at length, and I tell them I think this is going to happen sooner rather than later, whether it's water balloons, dog rockets, or whatever you want to call it.
All right. You know what I think? I think you are a ringer. I think that that other caller picked up. I think you are a ringer. I think you're a liberal ringer.
No.
Yes, I think you're a ringer for the Democratic Party, trying to make the Tea Party look like a bunch of mentally unstable.
I don't have to do anything to make them look mentally unstable. Mr. Henry, if you want to see my voting record and my membership in the Conservative Businessman's Initiative, by all means, please visit me in my office tomorrow. And you can see my voting record in a number of issues that we've had. You can come with me to our state convention. All right, I'm not a ringer.
You sound to me like a ringer talking about throwing water balloons and flaming bags of dog dew. This is like something out of Halloween. And I think you were on my show to discredit conservatives. I think you're on my show to discredit Americans who I believe personally have at heart the very best for this country and have at heart the principles that make this country the strongest. I'm not even going to say founded on. I'm going to say that we have learned this is what makes our country the strongest when we adhere to a conservative principle.
I agree with you. And
well, if you agree with me, man, you would be doing something to prop up the conservative cause. You wouldn't be on here talking about how the Tea Party is going to devolve into a splinter. There's going to be a splinter group not unlike the Weather Underground. Except they're not going to use explosives. They're not going to hurt anybody. Their whole thing's going to be humiliation. Why are you saying that? Why wouldn't you say that they want to hurt somebody? Unless you're a ringer and you don't want to say anything illegal.
Oh boy, Mr. Henry, if you're done with your speech.
Yeah, I'm done with my speech. I don't think you want to say anything that's going to get you in any kind of real serious trouble.
I will say everything and anything I need to alert our country to two things. The conservative movement is the best movement. That's number one. Number two, there's going to be a splinter group from the Tea Party that will attempt to humiliate President Obama, but they won't do anything violent. And
why not?
I don't think they've got the guts. I don't think they have the guts. I don't think they have the brains.
But they have the brains for lobbing water balloons and dog rockets. Is that what you called it?
What did you said a what? A dog rocket?
That's what you called a bet.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. They've got dog rocket guts, but they don't have any real guts when it comes to, and I can tell you.
I think you're a liberal ringer. I think you're full of crap. I think that you are here to discredit and to make the conservative movement look bad, and I don't buy it. And I'd like you to admit to it.
The other thing I wanted to mention, Phil, you know, I'm listening to you, but the other thing I want to mention to you is you're going to say that this is my problem. It's not my problem. But smoke bombs. Anything that can humiliate a president but not hurt him.
Firecrackers, cherry bombs, smoke bombs?
Yes. And I suppose you think that that is all childish.
Yeah, pretty childish. Water balloons?
I said last week that there would be, if Obama went to Madison, there'd be a water balloon assault on his Secret Service detail, yes.
Still think that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. In fact, I'll put money on it.
Okay, I'll bet you that there isn't. How much?
Are you kidding? You really want to bet me?
Yeah, I want to bet you. How much?
Gentleman's bet, a couple of $100.
All right, $200, I bet you that if Obama goes to Madison, no one hits his Secret Service detail with a water balloon barrage.
I think what's unfortunate here, Phil, we had the opportunity to educate people tonight, and instead, you called into question my maturity, my sanity.
I have to call into question your maturity and sanity when you talk about water balloons and flaming bags of dog crap, which you have a name for. You call them dog rockets. I've never heard of that.
You laugh. You go ahead and laugh. But if a dog rocket hits a Secret Service man, and you're talking about, geez, I don't even want to. It's dog do the dog.
Let's take a break here. I think the guy's a ringer. I think I've popped him. I think I've exposed him. I don't think there's any question. This guy's not a conservative. He's a jackass liberal talking about the Tea Party with a catapult somewhere back in the crowd firing dog rockets, you know.
What's that?
Never mind. We'll be back at a world-famous Phil Henry show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
So last segment here with Robert Greene from the Conservative Business Initiative. I told you I think that you're a liberal ringer, and I don't believe you're a conservative. I don't think anybody's a conservative. Come on here and completely discredit the Tea Party movement as psycho, as people that are children performing children stunts.
You don't think that I am a conservative, Mr. Henry. I can prove to you that I am. And I'm going to say something that I really believe, and that is that Barack Obama's a liar. And
oh, that's no big charge. I mean, that's no big charge. I mean, you can say that as a ringer. You could say that as a pretending to be conservative.
I am telling you he is a liar, and I'll prove why I think he's a liar.
Go ahead.
On the campaign trail in 2007, Mr. Obama had this to say, as quoted by Slate magazine. If American workers are being denied their right to organize, when I'm in the White House, I will put on a comfortable pair of shoes and I will walk on that picket line with you as President of the United States. He's a liar. He said that he would walk with them. And
that's not a lie. That what he's talking about there is a worker's right to organize.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. He said that...
No, you got to listen to me. He didn't talk... He wasn't talking there about going and getting in the middle of a dispute with an already organized union over some beef having to do with this, that, or something else. He was talking about the basic right of a worker to organize into a union. If those state workers in Madison were not unionized and were fighting to be unionized, Obama should then be held to that promise. But that's not what's going on.
No, I don't accept that. He's a liar. And let me tell you something else. Do you think, as a conservative, if you call me a ringer, do you think I want to see Sarah Palin go to Madison? Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachmann, and it is found out that one of those two women was on the other end of something like a water balloon or a dog rocket? Do you think, as a conservative, I want that news coming out? Do you think
those two women would be involved in something like that if you were a real conservative? No, I don't. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Joy in Palm Springs. Go ahead, Joy.
I am a real conservative.
This fellow with the so-called conservative businessman's initiative.
No, not so-called.
Well, I follow a lot of stuff, and it sounds pretty phony baloney to me. I know what's going on and who the different associations are. So I don't even think he's a bona fide person.
It's in Orange County, California. I don't know. It's in Orange County, California. You live in Palm Springs?
Yes.
How would you know what's going on in Orange County?
In Southern California, in Orange County, I think it was identified.
That's right.
I don't know everything that goes on there, and it's a well-known place for conservatives in Orange County. But the things you're talking about, I've never heard, let's put it this way, rational conservatives, Tea Party people behave or talk like this. It's really silly. It doesn't make any sense.
I completely agree. I'm not talking about rational people. I'm talking about the rational edge of the Tea Party movement.
The Tea Party movement, ma'am. And I know a lot of Tea Partiers, and you can try and make up all the stuff you want. The true Tea Party people don't behave like that, and you know
it. Let me ask you a question. I don't know that. I've seen these people, they water balloons and dog do in a bag.
Don't you think the liberal media would be all over them if even one iota of what you said was true? You must be talking through your hat.
They have been. No,
they have not been. You are the only guy that I've heard this from.
Let me ask you and the lady the question. Ma'am, the Tea Party movement, what do you think of a man dressed as Martha Washington? What do you think of that? You think that's funny?
That's a RuPaul routine, and that's not what the Tea Party do.
Tea Party people dress up, perhaps,
in 18th century gear, like the drummer in the famous iconic image from the Revolution.
The drummer in the
but,
what?
Or maybe they put on an Uncle Sam hat at the Republican convention.
The drummer and Uncle Sam, what is that?
Uncle Sam hat, one of those tall things that people dress up like that at the Republican convention.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a band.
What? No, she's not talking about a band. She's talking about the three guys, the guy with the drum, the fife and drum.
Oh, okay.
The fife and drum, yes, and then the image, and then you see people with funny hats at the Republican convention. But Tea Party people don't dress in drag, first of all.
Ma'am, you can't say that. You can't say that. I've seen that.
Where have you seen this?
If you've seen it, and the liberal media has not reported on it. Something doesn't make sense there. That would be a money shot for the liberal media.
A day doesn't go by that Media Matters hasn't got some scandalous thing in there that isn't true. What I'm trying to say to you and to every Tea Party member and every conservative is, why don't we begin to tone it down so that they don't turn around and accuse us?
I tone it down. I don't behave like that. And millions of others that do that, they're talking rationally, for heaven's sake.
But you used to do that, right? Didn't you used to do it?
Oh, silly boy. At my age, are you kidding? You're foolish.
Why did you say tone it down then? Well, why did you say tone it down then?
Well, wait a minute. They're not toning anything down.
What's the tone down? We're not yelling and getting nuts. We talk rationally, and we get excited sometimes and sing patriotic songs, but that's about as excited as we get.
Are you familiar with the Students for Democratic Society and how they've splintered off?
All right, we already know about that. Yeah.
I know about the Weatherman Underground and the students, and the Tea Party people don't even approach it, and you know it. Don't be fooled.
Then why is it when I receive Tea Party literature, there is at the bottom of the page, in quotes, dog rocket?
Oh, come on, will ya?
Well,
dog rocket.
I think this is a setup. And I don't think
that's exactly what I think. I think you're a ringer. I don't think you're a real conservative. I think you're with some media. I think you're with Media Matters.
You know what, Phil? I would cut my own throat if I were with Media Matters. And I proved to you that I'm a conservative.
I called
Obama a liar.
I think the whole thing is set up.
You guys have set all this up.
I'm a political junkie.
Where are you? Let me ask you a question. Where are you located, Bob?
I'm located. What do you mean, where am I located?
Where are you located?
I'm in Buena Park, California.
Well, I don't think you're a conservative. I think you're a guy. When you tell me that there are guys in the Tea Party dressed as Martha Washington, that's the tip-off for me. And then the other thing was this dog, or this lobbing dog crap and water balloons.
They don't do it.
Okay, so you never heard of that?
I've heard of kids doing that. I've never heard of the Tea Party doing it. And the idea that someone would humiliate the president by walking up to him and rubbing dog crap on his suit, that's something that only an idiot would say.
They wouldn't get near the president.
The secret police
would have him tackled before they even thought about it. I mean,
well, they're called the Secret Service, not the Secret Police. So.
Secret Service.
Joy, thank you for your call. Thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. And here is David. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hello. My name is David. I'm a retired firefighter. I've been a paramedic for 32 years. I broke my back. I had to retire. Didn't want to. I'm on my way to pick up my son, who's been over in Afghanistan for 11 months, on the ground, meeting the enemy and doing what's necessary to keep them from leaving Afghanistan. I also have three other children that were Marines. And one's on the ground in Afghanistan now. Another one will be there in August. I've been involved with the Tea Parties for since the inception, and it's a more of a family event. I have never seen any of these alleged schemes. In fact, if you threw water balloons, because they take pictures, and they have police everywhere, but if you threw water balloons and used fecal matter or whatever, you would be in jail for felony crimes. But this is a family event. We bring our children there. We don't
think it's that big of a deal
to do these terrible things.
If you love a dog, the man is not being truthful.
It can't be done because they will be arrested. I know this. I'm also a SWAT medic with a police department. Now, I don't know where you're coming from. Let's go back to where you came from.
A SWAT medic? So you went out and interdicted when a guy threw a water balloon?
No, you're the guy that brought it up. Well, thank you very much, David, and congratulations. Great family. The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with our news hour.
I got to bring a SWAT unit out because someone did a dog rocket.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
A take-home lesson from this is that they were very, very.
Yeah, I was told if I went on the attack, they would cancel the show.
The demand is not their demand. The demand is Bin Laden's.
Hillary would kick a baby in the head if it would get her what she wants.
I like Wiener.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots as we continue along. Trying to lead you, our listeners, in the right direction on this radio program, and that would mean in the right direction. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and of course our website, philhendryshow.com. Yes, join us in our trek to the future, and visit us on our website, Phil Hendry. What's the matter?
Why do you keep doing that?
I'll do what I want to do. Join us on our trek to the future on our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Com, live streaming video of the show every night, along with thousands of hours of archives, along with a podcast. And I got a guy wrote me a note, one of these interesting notes, you know, you get from a listener. He'll say, and it's a very good question. He said, well, Phil, you know, we are mobile on the Android, folks. You can watch us. You can watch our show stream live on the Android. You can watch us on demand, our video. The iPhone is a different thing. iPhone is run by Apple. Apple has their own rules. They hate Flash Player. That's okay, because as of next week, when we begin to update our video equipment here, we're going to have a TriCaster, which is going to enable us to live stream on iPhone. All of that is to say the following thing. When he said, Phil, can I get the podcast on iTunes? Yes, you can. Well, gee, Phil, I can't get it by way of my iPhone. That's because our podcast is subscription material. You get a backstage pass for $6.95 a month, which is about the greatest price in the history of the world when it comes to the quality radio that we give you in our archives and in our daily podcast. But you can't access subscription material via your iPhone because Apple wants a piece of the action, baby. And it was very interesting. As of last week or 2 weeks ago, Apple now has stuck it to the New York Times. You name any subscription site.
Yeah, I saw about the New York Times, man. All of a sudden, they want a piece of the action.
Right. And the you know, what is the New York Times? That's because, New York Times, you guys are going by way of an app. Apps suck. Listeners and viewers and readers think apps are great, but no, they're not. There's something better. It's called Just Make Your Whole Website Mobile. Now, I get all kinds of people saying, Phil, why don't you have an app? I'm not going to waste my time with an app for this show that has to be updated every 4 months or whatever the hell, that I got to share the money that I'm making with Apple, and maybe not, they will approve the app. Do you realize that there are radio shows and TV shows that have submitted apps to Apple that they could have on an iPhone? And Apple said, no, we don't want you to do that one. No, 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 no. They're just telling no. They're little apps that they think will be a gateway to millions and billions of dollars. That's baloney, man. I ain't going to waste my time. What I'm doing and what we're going to do is build a mobile platform, which means you don't have to have an app. You go to my website and you got a mobile site. And when you go to that mobile site, you interact with us with your subscription password and your username and so on and so forth. However, iTunes cannot be accessed through a iPhone because of the subscription material. And so that's just how Apple wants to do things. But you can still go directly to our website and get it that way. You can also go directly to our website and subscribe to the iTunes, to the Phil Henry Show podcast on iTunes, and it will automatically download to your phone or to your iPod. So I don't know what the story is here, man. Unless you don't have access to a computer, I don't know what to tell you. You can get our classic Phil podcast directly.
Yeah, I saw that because those are free.
Right. That is non-subscription content. It's a very interesting game. I know a lot of you guys have phones. I'm mobile, and you know what you can and what you can't do. I guarantee you this, that for an operation like ours, we are right on the cutting edge. But we're not going to make any decisions, and we're not going to go technologically in any direction that doesn't make any sense. We're not jumping on the bandwagon for apps. And we're not going to be jumping on the bandwagon for this, that, or something else, man, okay? We believe in content. We believe in upgrading our content as well as our video content. We believe in making sure that you guys have all of the archive shows that we have at our disposal. We then believe in making sure that whatever we do with the website in terms of mobile makes sense. And it isn't some jive-ass app that looks cheap, is cheap, and isn't operable in 4 or 5 months. And, oh, yeah, maybe Apple doesn't dig it, and maybe they'll just go ahead and discontinue it and won't let you. I mean, you wouldn't believe the malarkey, man. Better to just have a website that is fully mobile, and you log on with your bookmark. Bang, there's the mobile site. There's all the stuff you need. There's the this, there's the that, there's the something else, okay?
Well, I don't know if you meant the this or that.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. You know, right now the technology is so new, And the options are so manifest, so many of them, And it's such a new era that we have entered into that everybody is racing for the spot where any little bit of lightning hits. Ooh, look at that. Oh, let's go over the apps. Ooh, look at this. You know, what's the thing everybody's pitching now, man? Look on TV. They got their mobile phone and there is the streaming video. Oh, yeah, I got to have video that streams. Got to look at video streaming. You know, well, that's cool. Right now, our video, you can watch on any Android phone, okay? And we're going to take steps toward making sure that our video is on demand or live on iPhone. But we're not going to do it so quickly that we're investing in stupid apps that are expensive, that are sometimes working and sometimes don't, that Apple wants a big fat chunk of. No, forget it, man. Look, at this is a whole new day in business.
Well, how come you don't want to sell with Apple, man? If you sell with Apple, okay, then you got that app right on the phone there.
I don't give a damn if I got an app right on the phone, man. I'm on the air here every night, and I say, go to our website, philhendryshow.com. It's right there on your phone. Okay, and once we get our mobile site, hey, go to our website. We are fully mobile on the website. And you can obviously watch streaming video by way of your Android phone. And, oh, yeah, you can watch on demand on your iPhone. And so it's all good, baby. And as far as the subscription material goes, you enter in your username and your password. There it is, man. There it is on QuickTime. No. And we're not going to play that game. And I look at all these other schmucks. And forgive me, but people in my business, people that I like, I look at all these other jackasses going for their apps, working up these apps. It takes them 3-4 months, and Apple says, no way, we don't want it. I know of one show that just went through that. 3 months, they're working up an application, and guess what? iPhone said, or Apple said, nah, it sucks. So guess what they're doing?
They're go to a mobile site.
They're going to a mobile site. And then the other thing we want to do, and this is a little bit further down the road, is comport with the iPad.
Well, I like turning pages.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see. We'll see if it's something we want to do, but we want to make it so that it looks good on the iPad. Anyway, all right, I just burned up a whole quarter hour, didn't I?
Pretty much.
Anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The Charlie Sheen story is so good, so rich, and so fully packed with all kinds of fun stuff. I am going to do it after the break. I'm going to do it after the break. I will lead us up to the break with a story of minimal, well, I shouldn't say minimal interest. This story has a lot of interest, but I don't want to go off on a tangent because I can get really angry when I read stories like this. And this is the story of a college student from Saudi Arabia studying to be a chemical engineer, buying explosive chemicals online as part of a plan to hide bomb materials inside of dolls and baby carriages to blow up dams, nuclear plants, or the Dallas home of former President George Bush. Some student. This is so perfect that you think it's almost made up.
Well, I was thinking it was probably made up, you know?
I mean, it's so a Saudi student. He wants to blow up dams. He's a student. He's here on a student visa. After mastering the English language, learning how to build explosives, and continuous planning to target the infidel Americans, it is time for jihad or holy war, said Khalid Ali M. Al-Daswari, writing in a private journal according to court documents. The 20-year-old Al-Daswari wrote that he was planning an attack in the United States for years, even before coming to the U.S. on a scholarship. Boy, this is a sick guy.
He's thinking about over in Arabia.
Yeah, he said he was influenced by Osama bin Laden's speeches, that's how dumb he is, and that he bemoaned the plight of Muslims. Bemoaned the plight of, yeah, over there. One of the chemical companies, Carolina Biological Supply of Burlington, North Carolina, reported $435 in suspicious purchases by this dumbass to the FBI on February the 1st. You know what, I'm getting the feeling that some of these guys, though the plots are frightening, and would take many lives, that the guys that are planning them were sort of stupid.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean a guy. What if the Saudi Arabian secret police did it?
What? Say that again, bud.
What if the Saudi Arabians, don't they have it like a CIA or something?
Saudi Arabia's got a security service, sure.
You're not trying to tell me, man, they're going to plot and kill up George Bush? Man, that'd be the end of that.
Yeah, that's the truth. If we found out that the Saudi government was involved in trying to kill a president, there is not a nuclear weapon that we possess that I would not personally approve of using.
You go ahead and nuke Saudi Arabia on account of that?
Yes, I. Are you crazy? That's an act of war. I realize I sound old-fashioned. Murdering an American president, a foreign government murdering an American, that's an act of war. Now, I know I sound old-fashioned, and I was stunned. Well, no, I wasn't stunned, because, you know, look, YouTube, most of the message boards, these are playgrounds for the anonymous. And who are the anonymous that go on these message boards and talk about what a douchebag this president is or how this guy ought to be killed? These are all powerless little people. Powerless little people.
Yeah, that's what we always were telling us.
They are. They got to go back to their bucket shop job selling pencil and pen sets. But while they're on their lunch break, they'll go on the message boards of YouTube and they'll talk about this, that, and all kinds of horse dung. So this guy here, this Aldiswari, he's a cut above them. He actually went out and tried to get something done. However, he's so stupid, he got busted by the Carolina Biological Supply Company of Burlington, North Carolina. A shipping company, Conway Freight, notified Lubbock police the same day with a similar suspicion. Within weeks, federal agents had traced his other online purchases, discovered extremist posts he'd made on the internet, and secretly searched his off-campus apartment computer and email accounts and read his diary. I wonder if these guys want to get caught. They don't really want to go through with this stuff.
I was going to say, maybe he looks like a big shot on account of just to have a mugshot.
Yeah, well, what's that going to do? You know?
Well, he's got a mugshot that goes around the world. And they're, oh, wow, look at what a tough ass he is. TNP, the chemical explosive that Aldiswari was suspected of trying to make, has approximately the same destructive power of TNT. FBI bomb experts said the amount in the Aldiswari case would have yielded almost 15 pounds of explosive. That's about the same amount used per bomb in the London subway attacks that killed people in July of 2005. All right, we'll be back. Charlie Sheen attacks Two and a Half Men, the Two and a Half Men creator, in a rambling radio interview, a half-mad rambling radio interview on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back here in the world famous, and Alex Jones made a big deal out of the fact that he and Charlie showered together. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on our news hour in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. You saying, Bud?
Right. I think with the Charlie Sheen story, that you're looking at this guy's coming apart. He's coming apart out of the wheels, man.
Yeah, the wheels are coming off this guy. You know.
What do you mean the wheels are coming off?
Well, I think that he is going to, like, drinking and drugs and everything, you know, is going to mess up that show.
Yeah, it's like what an alcoholic will do when they mess it up and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with the fact that his drinking...
I mean, they're saying that there's not going to be no show or anything.
No, I don't disagree that his drinking is now beginning to take a toll. Because it's one thing to say, well, I'm a party animal and I drink, and, you know... It's interesting. I don't really know the particulars of any individual star's drinking or drug habits, but in the old days, they used to talk about guys like Spencer Tracy drank a lot. Errol Flynn drank a lot. Now, those are guys that did movies. They didn't do daily TV shows. But the mythology always was, oh, these guys can really hold a drink. I mean, they drink like a son of a gun. I think Errol Flynn used cocaine. But the legend of these guys, they really could drink. They could really hold a drink, and it didn't affect their work. And they right up to the bitter end. And Errol Flynn died pretty young, man. He was like 58 or something when he died. So it wasn't like...
Do you think that's what killed him?
Well, what else kills a guy at 58, man? You know, a heart attack, you know. But Charlie Sheen, this is a cat now that's, you know, it's affecting his work.
What about Marilyn Monroe? Didn't she tied it on, didn't she?
I don't know about Marilyn Monroe. The only thing I heard about Marilyn Monroe was that she used pills, that she was very often late to the set, and I don't know whether that's because of her using sleeping aids that caused her, it made it difficult for her to wake up. But she was late a lot, and it pissed people off. In the case of Charlie Sheen... let's talk about this here. The CBS and Warner Brothers, and I'm quoting the story here from ABC, CBS and Warner Brothers have had enough. The companies are pulling the plug on top-rated 2.5 Men after Charlie Sheen's shocking Thursday interview. So it's one thing if a guy is drunk or messed up or jacked up, but when he opens his yap and starts biting the hand that he's sometimes feeding and it's sometimes feeding him, based on the totality of Charlie Sheen's statements, conduct, and condition, CBS and Warner Brothers Television have decided to discontinue production of 2.5 Men for the remainder of the season, the company said in a statement. TMZ posted a story earlier today quoting Sheen challenging creator Chuck Lorre to a fight. Oh, good Lord. Calling him a stupid, stupid little man and a blankety-blank punk that I never want to be like. The troubled TV star also took to the airwaves once again today, this time calling into syndicated radio show The Alex Jones Show to slam 2.5 Men creator Chuck Lorre in a rambling, erratic, drunken, insane... Well, let's listen to it.
I am battle-tested bayonets, bro, and I'm tired. I'm so tired of pretending like my life isn't perfect and bitching and just winning every second, and I'm not perfect and bitching and just delivering the goods at every frickin' turn, because look what I'm dealing with, man. I'm dealing with fools and trolls. You know, I'm dealing with soft targets, and it's just, you know, it's just strafing runs in my underwear before my first cup of coffee, because I don't have time for these clowns. I don't have time for their judgment and their stupidity, and, you know, they lay down with their ugly wives in front of their ugly children and just look at their loser lives, and then they look at me and they say, I can't process it. Well, no, and you never will. Stop trying. Just sit back and enjoy the show.
Sheen repeatedly referred to the Jewish showrunner as Chaim Levine during the interview. Chuck Lorre's birth name is Charles Levine.
You know, I'm tired of being told, like, oh, you can't talk about that, you can't talk about that. Bull. Let me just say this, that it's nothing decided deplorable that a certain Chaim Levine, yeah, that's Chuck's real name, mistook this rock star for his own selfish exit strategy, bro. Check it, Alex. I embarrassed him in front of his children and the world by healing at a pace that his unevolved mind cannot process. Okay, last I checked, Chaim, I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold. And the gratitude I get in this kit is this charlatan chose not to do his job, which is to write.
Sheen discussed the threat by the producers that they would cancel 2.5 Men.
Yeah, I was told if I went on the attack, they would cancel the show and all that. And so I'm just sort of seeing if they're telling the truth or not. Are they happy with the $5 billion they've already made off me, or do they think they can turn that into 10 in a couple more seasons? I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, it's a runaway freaking juggernaut.
Well, let me tell you what they're saying. They're going to have the show without you. That's like having the sunrise without the sun.
Yeah, watch your ratings, dudes. Watch your stupid ratings.
By the way,
whatever. Do what you got to do, man. I'll go make movies with superstars and not work with idiots. You know
who was that? Who was that behind him?
I don't know.
That's runaway ego, man. Oh, it was a caller. Well, that's Charlie Sheen, and you know I don't know how much of what he's saying is true. First of all, it's true that he's a star of that show, and it's also true that he's a drunk. You know,
man, that dude, he was bagging on Jews and everything.
Well, that whole anti-Semitic thing, Chaim Levine. You know, Charlie Sheen grew up with a Hollywood father and with Hollywood brothers. Has he ever been exposed to the world? His father was a successful actor when Charlie Sheen was a little boy. So has he ever really actually been out in the world? I mean, this Chaim Levine and this knocking Jews and, you know, this cat has run into it, man. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. This is our news hour. And we're going to get just a little bit more into the story here of Charlie Sheen. We were looking at we're looking for the names of people that have been canned off of TV shows or canned off of maybe off of movies because of behavior or a behavior influenced by mental illness or drugs or something like that. And the first one we could think of, because it was very recent, was Isaiah Washington, fired in the third season of Grey's Anatomy for calling T.R. Knight, who was a co-star and who is also gay, a faggot. And I recall that because we had quite a bit of audio having to do with that stuff. Now, Charlie Sheen hasn't been fired. What they've done is they've pulled the plug on the TV show, and they've pulled it for a year. And I don't know what that means. I suspect what it means is they're probably, or you think they're done maybe producing the shows, and they'll wait until the fall, and that's the end of that. Now, this cat has other actors who are working with him on the show, and to the extent that he's, you know, his behavior is responsible for their employment and the money that they make, maybe you got to think about that. You know, and the guy, if he's not showing up on time and he's showing up maybe loaded, then that's a problem. If he's showing up on time and he's not loaded, then who cares what he's doing with hookers or other than the fact that he could get arrested, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, you're not supposed to be being with hookers and stuff, are you?
It's Hollywood, man. They expect that.
Yeah. It ain't like, man, it's not like they're playing for the Lakers or something, you know.
Yeah, they're not going to give a damn if he's hanging out with hookers. What they do care about is if this guy's not showing up for work on time. However, all of that having been said, we got ourselves another anti-Semite, one of these movie actors, you know, TV guys. All these guys, I don't know what the hell. Sheen is Hispanic. You know that, right?
Uh-uh.
He's Hispanic.
What do you mean he's Hispanic?
He's Hispanic. The family name is Estevez.
Oh, man, that... Are you kidding me, man?
Oh, it's not that big of a scandal, okay?
Yeah, but he's all talking about Jews and stuff.
So what? So what? I mean, yeah, it's bad, but if he was... Why does it make it so special because he's Hispanic?
On account of he's in a minority group.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever. But the fact is, he is Hispanic. Sheen is a stage name. His father took the name Martin Sheen. His brother, Emilio Estevez, has held on to the family name, and I think that there might be another sibling there. But this guy busts out with Chaim Levine talking about the showrunner Chuck Lorre. So, and he's doing it openly, and he's doing it without apology, and it's a stunning thing for me, because in my business here on the radio, anybody in television, if I started busting out with that kind of rap, man, it would be over. It would be all over. Now,
well, what do you think happened to him, man? It's all over for him, too.
Not quite. They're pulling the plug on the show for a year. But that doesn't tell me anything. That tells me they're pulling the plug on a production of the show for a year. Maybe they got enough in the can. Sheen's probably got a guaranteed deal. He's getting paid anyway. What does that mean for the other actors? I don't know. Doesn't mean jack. It means come summertime, they're going to start producing new shows again. So what? Now, other actors that got canned from shows for being weird, actor Paige Kennedy, a male...
You sure about that?
That I had to double check that.
I don't know if the name Paige.
It's a guy. Actor Paige Kennedy, a male, was fired from Desperate Housewives due to sexual misconduct on the set. He was rumored to have flashed his genitals on the set frequently. Maybe it was some sort of an emergency signal.
Yeah.
Is that an SOS?
It might have been SOS, using his genitals, which some people call their generals, you know.
I do.
So there you have it. That's just a couple of examples of people that have been fired because of their obnoxious and crazy behavior. I was telling you about Fatty Arbuckle. You heard about that, right?
Yeah, that Fatty Arbuckle story is the most bizarre. It is weird.
Well, in my travels over the weekend, I was reminded of the story of Paul Byrne.
What's that one?
Well...
These stories you got about Hollywood and everything is the sickest thing I've ever heard about it in my life.
God, man.
Yeah, spit it out, man.
I did.
All right. Well, this is kind of sad, man, and it doesn't even really have anything to do with anybody being twisted and messed up, and going to work that way. It has to do with the very sad case of Paul Byrne. Mr. Byrne worked at the same studio as Gene Harlow. Okay, you know who she was?
Uh-uh.
She was a gorgeous, ravishing, blonde starlet, a star, superstar in the 1930s, Jean Harlow. She was beautiful, and she's a pretty good comedian. Kind of a Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe played comedy really well. Jean Harlow played comedy really well. Jean Harlow had a hell of a body. She had a beautiful blonde hair. She was really gorgeous. And so she was like a big-time star. She died very young. She was like 28, I think. She died of pneumonia.
Did Fatty Arbuckle get a hold of her?
Did Fatty Arbuckle get a hold of her?
Yeah, I was wondering that, too.
Fatty Arbuckle never got a hold of Jean Harlow, no. What happened to Jean Harlow was very sad, but what happened to Paul Byrne was even sadder. Jean Harlow was an actress who got around town. She had boyfriends. She had male friends. She was a woman who had her heart broken. She was a star in the early days of Hollywood when being a star was something else, man. There wasn't any TV. There wasn't the coverage of stars that there is today. So, you know, you were rich. You were well taken care of and hidden by the studio if you needed to be. And of course, Jean Harlow was the object of the affection of God knows how many millions of men. Well, this guy named Paul Byrne was a studio executive, and Paul Byrne was known as the father confessor because a lot of the actors and actresses would go to him for advice. He was a nice guy, you know?
Uh-oh.
Yes, that's right.
You're telling me about nice guys.
Right. He was a nice guy. Paul Byrne was. And Jean Harlow would go to Paul Byrne and talk to Paul Byrne a lot about her problems, about her life. And found herself attracted to this very kind man, found herself befriended by this very kind man, and found herself loving him, and he loving her, obviously, you know, and they became closer. And as I mentioned, this was a relationship that was really based, you would think, more on a platonic thing. I don't think they had any physical relationship at all. In fact, I'm pretty well convinced, and I haven't really read up on it.
Well, how much do you know about the story?
I'm telling you. What do you mean, how much do I know?
I mean, it's interesting. I just wondered if you know.
I know. Just let me finish the story. I know. I know enough. Let me put it that way. So, and this will make Bud laugh. Paul Byrne, let's just say that this man was not blessed with the greatest of endowments.
Are you kidding me or something, man? What was it like
for you? Shut up. Now, how do we know this? Well, Jean Harlow and Paul Byrne got married. And it was a huge Hollywood wedding. And it was attended by all of the heavy hitters. And it was a this and it was a that. Now they go home for the night, and now it's their wedding night. Now, this is all information that was gleaned from interviews with Jean Harlow, the soup. Well, I shouldn't say.
The soup?
Yes, the soup. Anyway, it's their wedding night, and Paul Byrne comes out of the bathroom, I guess, into the master bedroom, and strapped around his waist is a huge, what do you want me to call it?
Oh, man, like a... you talk about like a marital aid or something?
Yes. He's got one that's... I think they call you strap it on.
Really?
Yeah. And I guess it's really big. And she starts to laugh. She said that she started to laugh. And the reason why he was wearing this thing is because the guys didn't, he felt he wasn't adequate. Okay.
Well, I mean, he probably, was it like his thumb or something?
Yeah, probably about the size of a thumb, huh? You know, well, you guys shut up and let me finish. So this poor guy is being laughed at, and I don't think that she meant to laugh, but she thought the spectacle of this was pretty funny, and after laughing, you know, and the humor of this was finally finished, he presumed and proposed to make love to her wearing this thing.
So it wasn't so funny anymore.
So it wasn't so funny anymore to Jean Harlow. And I don't, you know, when you think of Paul Byrne, you know, physically, you know, the state of the man, I guess that, you know, was what he wanted to do. And in any event, it apparently upset her so much that she left the house. She left the bedchamber and she left the home that night. Sometime later, either early the next morning or a little bit later on, he was found he had killed himself.
Wow.
Yeah. And he had left a note, something to the effect of you. And I believe he said in the note, you know, I was only kidding last night. I was only kidding last night. So obviously he was humiliated. And that is about the saddest thing.
Yeah, but there's no Fatty Arbuckle edge to it, you know.
Oh, there's no Fatty Arbuckle edge, you mean?
Yeah, with a champagne bottle.
Oh, well, excuse me. I'm sorry I didn't give you guys the real good stuff, huh?
The Fatty Arbuckle had that real good, you know, that
you get out of here. You make me sick, both of you. All right, we'll come back here at a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Oh, look, we have another one. In the film world, Lindsay Lohan was recently replaced for the role as Linda Lovelace due to her current issues. I didn't know that. Mel Gibson was removed from The Hangover 2 due to the actors not wanting to work with him because he hates Jews. And there's a lot of Jews there in the... I'm kidding. An Indiana official, he got fired for... Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is the tease for next quarter hour.
Right.
An Indiana official gets canned for comments about the protests in Wisconsin on his Twitter account. Plus those Lincoln Memorial and Smithsonian gifts you bought during your last visit to D.C. Guess what? Guess where they were made? It wasn't America. And PhilHendryShow.com... That's made in America. Go visit, get a backstage pass. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, welcome back here to the final segment of our show on this now Friday morning. Friday, baby. An Indiana deputy attorney general was fired on Wednesday after he suggested, among many provocative remarks on a private Twitter account and blog, no private Twitter account and blog. You understand? There's no private Twitter account. Were these tweets protected? Were they protected? You know, you can protect your tweets.
I don't know what that don't sound good, though.
What do you mean it don't sound good?
Well, it sounds dirty. That's all he's saying.
Are you guys an idiot? Are you guys both together one idiot? I think you make like one combined idiot to say that protecting your tweets sounds dirty.
I don't know.
Well, you can do that. You can, you know, like my tweets are protected and don't you dare touch them. Now, I don't even think that means that your Twitter account's private. I'm telling you, I haven't seen a bigger load of horse dung in my entire life than when I've been listening to that Neil Rosen mother and those other guys. Oh, wow, you know, I forgot that Twitter is public. Are you serious, man? Do you think anybody's buying that? For you to say that and to expect people to believe it, that means you want people to believe that you're a blithering idiot.
Well, I mean, if you say that your Twitter, I don't know, man.
Are you trying to tell me it's hard for you to remember that everybody on God's good green earth is going to read what you're, if, you know, I know that, like, you may only have, how many followers do you have, bud?
I got, like, 400.
400, man. Now, multiply that out. One of these people retweets to some other people, they retweet to other people. Next thing you know, it's all over God's half. Have you got a Twitter account, Robert?
No way, man. It's gay.
Gay? What's gay about it?
Oh, all right. Ooh, I got a Twitter account. Let me go talk to my boyfriend.
You're insane.
All right, shut up. Indiana official fired for remarks on Twitter suggesting police use live ammo to clear the union demonstrators from Wisconsin. What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Somehow he got in trouble for that. Anyway, I'm kidding. The Indiana Attorney General's office learned of the remarks after Mother Jones, a liberal nonprofit news magazine, and a busybody old bitch that lives next door to the Capitol, not to be confused for each other, published a story online Wednesday. The exchange started, and Mother Jones is a real rat, man. They will rat your ass out every time. Anyway, the exchange started Sunday when Jeff Cox, age 39, tweeted, quote, use live ammunition, in response to a Mother Jones tweet that riot police had been ordered to remove union supporters from the Wisconsin state capitol in Madison. In the article published online, the reporter, Adam Weinstein, said he confronted Cox on Twitter. Who is this guy? What does this guy do? He's the attorney general. Oh, my God. He's a deputy attorney general.
Yeah, he's not the attorney general. He's a deputy one.
All right, which means they got, how many of those have they got? About 50? Anyway, the deputy attorney general. So the reporter confronted Cox on Twitter. He tweeted back that the demonstrators were political enemies and thugs who were physically threatening legally elected officials, Weinstein wrote in Wednesday's article. In response to such behavior, he said, "You're damn right I advocate deadly force." He later called me a typical leftist, adding, "Liberals hate police." Weinstein discovered Sunday that Cox was a deputy attorney general. Cox has listed, had listed his profession only as a lawyer on his Twitter account. Did you think that was going to protect you there, Jeff? Now, I'm a conservative, Jeff. But let me tell you, you're an idiot. All right? Let there be no, you're an idiot. In a written statement released late Wednesday, Cox said the post was not meant to be taken literally. That is a lie. And I've just about had it with these people claiming that things were satire. When every time one of these simple-minded clowns says something outrageously wrong, they always say this, "Well, it was satire." You wouldn't know satire if it walked up to you and pulled your pants down and you know what?
What?
Wouldn't you like to know? All right. In an interview with CNN in Indianapolis, Jeff Cox lies. No, I mean, Jeff Cox told this tale. I mean, he said, well, here it is.
"I made some comments on Twitter that were intended to be satirical.
Bull crap.
I think in this day and age, that tweet was not a good idea.
Right.
And in terms of that language, I'm not going to use it anymore."
Okay, well, you're an idiot, and you also lied. So, yeah, you see, look at folks. That's a guy who was caught doing something stupid. He lied his way out of it. Maybe it'll keep his job. Maybe it won't. But when I say that, you know, I'm tired of it, this is what we do for a living. We do satire. I know what satire is. That guy, he don't do satire. I don't even know if he does lawyer.
His wife does lawyer?
Yeah. Wife does lawyer.
All right, fine. Anyway, Weinstein discovered Sunday that Cox was deputy attorney general. Cox had listed his profession as lawyer. In a written statement released late Wednesday, Cox said the post was not meant to be taken literally. And I don't think any reasonable person would conclude otherwise. I would. Absolutely, man. I mean, I don't know you. Okay? I don't know you. And I don't know how smart. Do you think the attorney general of the state of... No, ordinarily I would hope that he wouldn't. But I have, as he just said, in this day and age... how can I expect anything different? I don't know how these guys, half of these guys are so stupid, you want to break down and cry. Honest to God, do we got to go through this? Do we have to go through this again?
Why, do you honestly believe?
Yes, I do. Based upon what we've had to witness over the last several years, yes, I do. Yeah, I honestly believe that there is someone that dumb working in the Indiana attorney, and it isn't just the state of Indiana, I'd bet it for all 50 states, both parties. You know, look, the governor of Wisconsin is trying to get something done. You open your big fat yap on Twitter, man. You make his job 50 times tougher, Cox. Cox admitted he made a lousy choice of words, which he regrets because he's not very funny or interesting and bores people at parties. But he said the affair had been blown out of proportion. Sure, he hates Jews and children, but why would that have to interdict? No, he didn't say that.
He said that.
No, he didn't. He also lamented what he considers a double standard about, oh, God, when they start talking about double standards. The big question before us is whether or not public employees maintain their First Amendment rights once hired by the government. The Attorney General's office was well aware of my blog, which started over 7 years ago, and at no time did they express any concern about its content. Maybe there wasn't anything in the blog. This isn't a blog. This is Twitter, stupid. Twitter. Tens of thousands of people are on Twitter. Attorney General Greg Zeller wasn't available Wednesday for comments. Spokesman Brian Corbett said it's the first time the office has terminated anyone over social media use. Cox has not tweeted since Sunday, and his blog, ProCynic, at blogspot.com, has been removed. Well, you haven't got your job anymore, man, so why don't you go back and blog a little bit there, Cox? Until Sunday, Cox often tweeted every few minutes for hours. Many of his comments focused on politics, and he frequently engaged in debates. Some people would say, like Sybil Johnson,
"Well, he was very interesting."
And then that was the end of that. And then Bob Thornton said, "Yeah, I enjoyed it." And there were a lot of people like that. And thank you. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. Until tomorrow, don't forget. Forget it.
The Phil Henry production in everything.
Phil Henry.